Blog Talk Radio.
Hey yo, what's up, what's up? Let's keep it real, son. Count this money, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Hey yo, put the grants over there in the safe, you know what I'm saying? Cause we're spinning these Jacksons. The Washingtons go to wifey, you know how that goes.
I'm saying, that's what this is all about, right? Clothes, bank rolls, and hoes, you know what I'm saying? Yo, then what, man? Man, what?
Bridge of lots and the real list.
All right, let's get this thing started. This is the one and only D-Flux here, Derek Felix in the forgotten borough of Staten Island, New York City. Welcome to Hard Hits Live. This is the first edition of a new format, a new podcast. It is a live hour, basically. And I do apologize for starting it a few minutes late. I was running into a little bit of technical issues with the Block Talk Radio. What a shock. I don't know. I've had some issues lately, but this one was a new one. But this is basically whatever you want it to be and whatever I will do. I'll just try to get to as much stuff as I can, cover things a little bit differently here over this next, I guess you would say 55 minutes here. There's not going to be any overtime. So this is just strictly live. It is a Saturday, October the 31st, believe it or not, 2020. So, yes, it's Halloween, folks. So, happy Halloween to everybody out there. Trick or treat. Trick or treat to whoever's out there with the ghosts and goblins and the wicked witches and whatever you're dressed as here. So, now, to anybody who actually is taking their kids trick-or-treating, hope that you all have fun and hope everybody is safe. That's the most important thing here. So I am located in Staten Island, New York. It is the Forgotten Borough. Everybody talks about Brooklyn, Queens, Long Island, the Bronx. But Staten Island kind of gets forgotten sometimes. So, and I think that when I think about living out here for all the years I live out here, it's there's pluses and there's negatives. You know, there's always going to be like things that you like and things that you dislike. But you know something? As much as there were things that I didn't like about living out here, I feel like there's more people that are willing to be open to discussion out here. And there's also beautiful parks. We have beautiful parks like Cold Lakes, where I ran a lot of cross-country races during my high school career. Cross-country. And we have Wolf's Pond Park, it's really Wolf's Pond Beach now. See, it was Wolf's Pond Park for a long time until Hurricane Sandy, which was 8 years ago, actually. We found out the 10-year anniversary was on October 28th. And I did stumble upon something that I wrote. I wasn't going to, because this is going to be mostly sports, but since it kind of impacted everybody, it impacted a lot of people, I know that. I didn't know anybody personally that were victims. My father did. Because he's a sports official. Yeah, so I just remember the impact. I remember driving around to that old block, which is a lot lower than lower as far as elevation goes. It was close to the border. Just seeing the impact. So it's pretty tough. It's really tough, to be honest. So something came up on my Facebook. And it was something that I actually wrote from 8 years ago. I think just from driving around and seeing everything, I was able to digest things. I wrote this 8 years ago. It's called Howling Sandy. Something I wrote from 8 years ago. The wind howled like a whistle for all to hear, almost as if someone was calling out here or near. The trees blew around like a furious ocean of puddles. You didn't know if it was real or imagined. Must be a daydream is all you thought. But as you peeked outside your window, loud screams is all you got. Sandy was talking to you for all you knew, yelling at the top of her lungs as if cooking up some stew. Only the angrier kind, rough around the edges as leaves fell, pushing you off ledges into a wishing well. All you had was a memorable dream that left you puzzled, riding in a car with friends back into Connecticut as you awoke disheveled. Was this the act of Satan laughing it up? You quickly took a shot of Grey Goose in your cup, down without hesitation, praying and hoping for a warm vacation, greeted by clear skies and a powerful sun, along beach babes in bikinis partying and having fun. Only that wasn't the case. And all that stared back at you was your pale, sad face. As gusts gained steam, you felt powerless, the hurricane taking control, leaving a mess. If only you could wake up from this nightmare, but not on this day as you sat in your chair. The only thing left to do was keep believing. Have some faith, and you'll finally stop dreaming. All right, that is Howling Sandy. There was no title when I wrote it originally because it was off Facebook. I just decided that Howling Sandy would be appropriate. I didn't want to write Hurricane Sandy. I wanted to write something I wanted a title of something different. And there was a lot of howling, obviously. So I thought it would be perfect. But this is mostly a sports show. There's a lot of college football going on right now. Clemson was able to survive. They were able to come back and beat Boston College without Trevor Lawrence. Everybody's talking about Trevor Lawrence. You know, Trevor Lawrence is expected to be, if he comes out, the number one draft pick. The number one draft pick if he comes out. And it would most likely be the New York Jets. The question with Trevor Lawrence is, wow, what does he want to do? He hasn't said that he doesn't want to come out. He hasn't said anything negative. Of course, there are people that are trying to sway him. Why would you want to go there? I mean, they're going to have to get rid of Adam Gase. Adam Gase is a disaster. And they have Joe Douglas as the general manager. He's in his second year. And he did not bring back Robbie Moore, who has been a solid receiver for the Carolina Panthers. The Jets don't have a good roster. I haven't really talked Jets on this Hard Hits Network before. Not in a long time, because there's been nothing to talk about. They're a disaster. They are an awful team. Yeah, they're worse than the Giants. We'll take on the Tampa Bay Bucks on Monday Night Football. Oh, my God. That's going to be bad. And Jean-Pierre Paul, JPP, makes his return. And he has every intention of getting to Daniel Jones and wrecking him. I'm sure Daniel Jones is very excited about that. I'm sure Andrew Thomas, who looks like a bust. And it's, everybody said he was like the fourth best offensive tackle. I'm sure Andrew Thomas is just very excited about that prospect. And don't forget that they're going to be without one of their players up front because of COVID positive. So there's going to be a lot of problems for the Giants, but they're not playing until Monday. I'm not going to be watching that one. What I will do, and I do this for most Giants games, is I listen to the radio. I like listening to because that's your home. That's your home radio cast. There's no telecast. The telecast is all. There's no such thing as a home telecast when it comes to football, because it's controlled by two or three networks. You have, well, it used to be in the old days, CBS and NBC. CBS used to be NFC with Pat Summerall and John Madden, and NBC used to be Marv Albert. And I think McGuire. I think that's what it was. But and yet ABC is Monday Night Football. Ah, imagine that. Now it's been Fox for a long time with the NFC, but now Fox and CBS can split the coverage and split the package. CBS is mostly AFC. But then again, they can alter it. Who takes the games? You have NBC doing Sunday Night Football. You know, in the old days, that was TNT. Who forgot about that? Well, yeah, when I was in college at Fairleigh Dickinson, you had TNT doing some Sunday night games. Holy crap. Oh, do I remember that. Then eventually it was ESPN. Now ESPN does Monday Night Football, and it's terrible. And their broadcast is just always atrocious. So I basically rely on the radio for that. I listen to CBS Radio, whoever broadcasts for WFAN. Usually it's Kurt Warner and Kevin Harlan, the screecher or the screamer, who gets excited about anything. Yeah. But on Monday, it's going to be Bob Papa, Carl Banks doing it in the Giants field. So it will be a little bit more true. Now, as far as the Jets go, they are on ESPN Radio. You have Marty Lyons and Bob Lischussen. And I've listened to a couple of like their games, not entirely, but I listened to like the first half of one, and it was so bad. By the third quarter, I just had to shut it off. It was just so bad. And I was like, I mean, could they be any more uncompetitive? That's the Jets in a nutshell. This past week, Joe Benigno finally revealed, you know, the worst kept secret that he's going to be retiring from radio. He's been on WFAN for 25 years. Nobody bleeds green and white like Joe Benigno. And if you listen to him, whether it was in the overnight when he started out in 95, or if it was with Evan Roberts, or before that it was, what, Sid Rosenberg? Yeah. The rants and the monologues were epic. The pain, the misery. That's the Jets. You know, people forget that the Jets went to two AFC championship games last decade. Actually, it's over a decade now, but with Mark Sanchez, you forget about that. You know what they think about with Mark Sanchez? They don't think about the two losses. They think about the butt fumble on Thanksgiving, you know, the Patriots, when they got embarrassed. I was at my cousin's in New Jersey for that. And that's the real sad thing, is that the Jets have had some good years. They made the AFC Championship game with Bill Parcells. They were leading 10-0 against the Broncos in 98. They did not score another point, I don't think. They lost. They had a bad second half. I remember they had the Browns basically beat in the AFC divisional title matchup. This is back in 86 or 87. 86 season, 87. CBA, the Giants won it. They let Bertie Kolsar of the Browns stun them, and they lost in overtime. And everybody thought they could beat John Elway and the Broncos. And the Broncos went to the Super Bowl, and they lost to the Giants, who were great that year. They won 37-20 with Phil Sims and Lawrence Taylor and Carl Banks, Bill McConkey. A lot of great players on that team. Mark Bavaro, Raul Allegri was the kicker. You know something? You know, it's weird. You look at the New York football teams, and it's just terrible. It's pitiful around here. There's one win between the two teams. They're competing for the top pick. The Atlanta Falcons got their second win, and they're going to get a few more wins. They'll probably get to 4 or 5 wins. So who else... Who are the Jets and Giants really going up against? The NFL is kind of mediocre. I mean, you have your very good teams. You have the Kansas City Chiefs, obviously, the defending champs. You've got the unbeaten Steelers. They're visiting the Ravens. That's the big game tomorrow, and it won't be televised. So what I might do is my device. Yeah, I can't even think of the word right now. But yeah, maybe I'll check that out. They're not going to be showing the Dolphins with Tua debuting. his first start for the Dolphins. They're taking on a really good team. That might be a tough debut. So we'll see how it goes. But there is college football. Trevor Lawrence does have COVID. He will not be playing against Notre Dame next week either in the top five. Day one. They were winning big. Let's see if I could get a final score on that game. I listened to the end of the Rutgers game. They did not have a good game after their really great win last week. They kind of took a step back against Indiana at home. But they almost pulled off one of the greatest touchdowns ever. They were down 37-21. They did a crazy lateral play. And one of my favorite people in the radio business, Chris Carlin, formerly of WFAN, now of ESPN Radio, he's been doing Rutgers for a long time. Just listening to Carlin call games, it's worth it. He's been doing Rutgers games since they were really good. Beat Louisville. The pandemonium at Piscataway. Pandemonium Piscataway. I remember that. Now I'm a Miami Hurricanes fan. I've been a Hurricanes fan since I was, 9 or 10. And they've fallen on hard times. But anytime you could listen to Rutgers with Chris Carlin, check it out. Ray Lucas also is part of it. And I think Eric LeGrand. Yeah. But listening to Carlin, it's all about Chris Carlin to me. I think that's what makes it exciting. But this play, now, I didn't get a chance to see it yet, but this, there must have been about 8 laterals. Okay, yeah, there were. I thought it was 7. They faced, I think it was a 4th down, 4th and 30, 4th and forever. So I'm half paying attention to what's going on because Noah Vedral took 2 sacks and basically forced the 4th and forever. And they're down by 16 anyway. So I'm listening to it. And all of a sudden, Carlin's getting excited. He's getting amped up. What the heck is going on here? And it starts with Noah Vedral, and then it's Shameen Jones. And all of a sudden, Bo Melton is going to go the distance, going to run 40 yards or 45 yards. And they're going to score. And honestly, they had me believe it. I thought they got hosed. They thought they got hosed, obviously. They're Rutgers guys. And even they looked at the replay. They just couldn't see it. Apparently, there was a forward pass. Yeah, that was a forward pass. Okay, I'm looking at it right now. How close is this? That wasn't even that close, to be honest. Yeah. So, but they took them a long time to review it. And the lengthy review did reverse it. They got it right. So, but that was just really exciting. All right. So, it was very exciting. So, and it was lineman Sam Bretman. Yeah, I mean, it was pretty crazy. It was pretty crazy, to be honest. It was exciting just to listen to. And for so much of this pandemic, it hasn't been normal. We've had sports, though. The Stanley Cup was rewarded in the Edmonton bubble to the Lightning, who were the best team, defeating the Dallas Stars, and they were on a mission. They were great. Brandon Point set the tone in that crazy game against Columbus. How long did that game last? I think it was 6 hours, 6.5 hours. Yeah. And Brandon Point also scored in the clincher against the Stars. Shut up. It was just great. There were no positive tests. Yeah, two bubbles. It was originally Toronto and Edmonton. And then the conference finals and the conference hop final were played at Edmonton. And the Stars were a great story with Anton Khudobin, a backup, getting hot, stoning the Vegas Golden Knights. And the Lightning were the best team. And it was fun. It was fun. Now you have an off-season. You have an off-season in October, November, December. It's very strange. The NHL is planning to restart in January of next year. You're not going to be... It's not going to be normal. Because it's going to be in a bubble. So, it's going to be crazy. I mean, there's going to be a bubble. You're not going to have games at Madison Square Garden. So, no, Alexis Lafreniere, with his number 13, is not going to make his debut at MSG. Now, if they, my feeling is that they'll have training camps at the beginning of January. And I'm thinking maybe January 16th or January 20th. That's when they'll have the start-up of the season. And no, there's no reason to play 82 games. How many games would I play? I would play 60. I think 60 is a good number. You don't have to play 82. They've had shortened seasons before. Plan B to not end in the hot summer, to not end in July, to maybe end at the end of June, like they did in 1995. I think that's what the plan should be. So that maybe hockey can slowly return to when it's supposed to start. And no, I'm not in favor of them having their startup in January. I just don't think it makes sense. I know Gary Bettman's interested in that, but I don't like that idea. I don't like that idea. You're always going to be going up against something. I don't know how long this pandemic's going to be around for. So we took some hockey. I still can't get over that Rutgers play. That's the most exciting touchdown that wasn't. Yeah, a lot of people thought that Michigan was for real. But I have to give credit to my close buddy there, Brian Sanhorn, who's also been a big contributor to the show in the past. He called it. We were on George's show last night. He said he thought the spread between Michigan and Michigan State was too high because Rutgers pulled the upset and stunned Michigan State. And you know what? It's an in-state rivalry game. In-state rivalry games, sometimes in-state rivalry games, there's a lot of pride on the line. And Michigan State, they handled Michigan. They handled them. So Brian made a great call there. That was an excellent call by him, and they took care of business. Now, Clemson, obviously, Michigan State, by the way, won 27-24, so they pulled off that one. Clemson had to come back. And, of course, they were out Trevor Lawrence. We talked about him. He's not going to be able to play against Notre Dame next week. And I think that game's at South Bend. Oh, wow. What a scenario there. And don't forget, Notre Dame is ACC eligible this year. They're playing in the ACC. It's just the way things are. But this quarterback for Clemson, very highly rated, DJ, I'm not going to be able to pronounce this. I will give it my best effort here. DJ Uagalele. That's how I'm going to pronounce it. Or it might be Uagalele. I don't know. But he had a great debut. 30 out of 41, 342 yards against BC. BC, Washington College is ranked. BC, people knew that this could be a good game. Two touchdowns, only one sack, no line tees. He did a nice job. 6 for 25 with a rushing touchdown as well. So three combined touchdowns. Over 360 total yards. And Etienne, who's going to be, who probably is a first round pick. I really do like him, Travis Etienne. He is a terrific back because he's not just a runner. No, this guy's a dual threat. This guy can catch passes out of the backfield and he could turn it on. He's got great breakaway speed. I'm not going to compare him to Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook was awesome at Florida State, but I think he could be something really good at the next level. And he's not the biggest guy, but he's got that speed. He's got that extra burst. So he didn't have a great game in terms of the rushing part, 20 for 84, a little over 4 a pop, along with 17 and a touchdown. But he also was great. Remember, catching balls. 7 catches for 140 yards, a 20 average, 42 long, and a touchdown. So he had 2 touchdowns. And Powell had 11 catches for 105. And Clemson comes back. And they stay undefeated at 7-0. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not much into gambling, but, you know, that 26-point line, once you knew Trevor Lawrence was going to be a starting quarterback, yeah, I would have taken BC, plus 26. That would have been a good play. Yeah, and the number of 57.5, that would have been a great play if you liked the underdog, always go with the over. That would have been a great play, wouldn't it? You could have made some good money on the money line, plus 1,200. I mean, that would have been a nice bet. All I'll say about the gambling is just pick your spots, please. Pick your spots. All right. There's 29 minutes left here. If anybody wants to call, I haven't even looked at my switchboard, but you can call. We can talk whatever you want. You want to talk about the baseball offseason? You want to talk about Steve Cohen owning the Mets, the richest owner in baseball history. And the Wilpons, ding dong, the Wilpons are dead. Sounds like the Wizard of Oz a little bit. Ding dong, the witch is dead. I read a good Mike Vaccaro article in the New York Post, though. He talked about Fred Wilpon when he first took over the Mets because they were a laughing stock in 1980. And how much he wanted to bring a competitive baseball team, National League baseball team, which hadn't been the case since the Mets won in 69. And, you know, they had that run also in 73 where they lost the World Series. How he wanted to bring that back to New York. And they did. They changed the culture. They drafted Daryl Strawberry out of California. They got Dwight Gooden. They got Ron Darling. And they changed their culture, and they won a World Series in 1986. Very memorable World Series, because that was one of the first ones that I followed, the second World Series that I ever followed. And I think, like, the first one that I ever was able to stay up and really watch. Because in 85, I was what? I was 8. And I would have to go to sleep eventually because I had school the next day. And my dad was, I liked about that. My dad, he used to play Little League like most kids. Now I don't even know if all kids play in Little League. He would always leave these little notes. He put these notes on an index card or a piece of paper about what happened and who won, whether it was the Cardinals or the Royals. And does anybody have cool stories like that? I just always thought that was great. So tell me what happened. And I just thought it was great. You know what's amazing about the Mets that year in 86? They were clearly the best team. But they were the road team in the NLCS because of how the schedule turned out against the Astros, who had the impossible Mike Scott with his split finger fastball for that cast off, Nolan Ryan. Who else was on that friggin' team? They had a couple other Bob Knepper. That was another good pitcher they had. Oh man, I'll tell you what. The Astros, their offense wasn't as good as the Mets, but who doesn't remember Billy Hatcher hitting that tying home run to tie that crazy Game 6?
in extra innings, a game the Mets pulled out, and avoided having to face Mike Scott at the Astrodome in a Game 7, a game that I don't think they could have won. Yeah, I mean, I think that would have been almost impossible. Very tough to win a Game 7 on the road back then, especially at the Astrodome, especially in a – I mean, that's when home advantage really mattered. The Mets should have had the home field, but they didn't. But they did for the World Series because the Red Sox – and the Red Sox were really good. And Dwight Gooden struggled. And the Mets fell behind 2-0. They lost both games at Shea. And Bruce Hurst pitched masterfully. And he was going to win the World Series MVP. They had it already awarded to him. Marty Barrett, they couldn't get him out. Marty Barrett was just that pesky second baseman who could hit to the opposite field. Something you don't see a lot of in baseball anymore. He's just a good hitter. He was hot that October. Wade Boggs. I hated Wade Boggs. I'm a Yankee fan. I hated Wade. He sat out to win a batting title that year. What a joke. Mattingly played both ends of the doubleheader. It was beautiful. And he got cheered because he got 6 or 7 hits. And Boggs won the batting title, though. I didn't like the Red Sox. Come on. Hated Boston. You know, as a kid, though, when you're growing up back then, you're young, I was more a Yankee fan. But I like the Mets. I like that Mets team, and I rooted for them. I like some of the guys they had. I love Strawberry. Strawberry is still one of my all-time favorite players. Don Mattingly is number one. Darryl Strawberry and Dwight Gooden, that's my top three. Yeah, believe it or not, two Mets are in there. You know who would round out my top four? Dave Winfield. We loved him. Loved him. So you could tell I'm an old-school guy. I left out Derek Jeter. And I like DJ. I don't like the fact that he's a little bit of a fraud. But DJ, in terms of baseball, I loved him as a baseball player. Mariano Rivera is definitely up there for me. Paul O'Neill, one of my favorite Yankees. And I met him at a Yankee Fan Fest, and I told him to kick butt at a Fan Fest. This was right before the 94 season, which, oh, God, it still pains me. Because that was Mattingly's shot. You know, they did get to the playoff the next year, but they lost to the Mariners in that just unbelievable series, crushing fashion. I was at my FDU dorm. I knew they were going to lose. I knew they were losing once Griffey got on. And I don't know why Buck Showalter used Jack McDowell on that spot. He didn't know what he had in Mariano Rivera. I probably would have gone to Wetland. I know Wetland was shit in that series, but if you're protecting Lee, you got to go if you're closer there. It didn't make sense. And I could still see Edgar Martinez just lacing that ball down the third baseline. This is Hard Hits Live. Yeah, I'm going down memory lane. This is Derek Felix, D-Flex here in Staten Island, New York. There's still 21 minutes left. Yeah, if you want to call, you want to talk about your favorite sports memories, you want to talk about something current, call. Give me a call. 516-531-9641. We started off, we kicked it off a little Nas Illmatic from the classic Illmatic. Life's a bitch and then you die. What a great song. What a great album. You know what? I used to have that on cassette. You know, I have a couple of Nas albums on cassette. And see, I have some CD and a CD. What is my favorite song from the Nas Illmatic album? You know what? That's a toss-up. The World Is Yours used to be my favorite one. Whose world is this? The world is yours. The world is yours. It's mine. It's mine. Whose world is this? And I think AZ might have collaborated with Nas. Was he on that one, though? Or was that the second one? They're very close. And AZ is one of the most underappreciated MCs ever in New York and in the rap industry. He's just got thick skill. I like The World Is Yours and New York State of Mind. Halftime would be my third choice. You know what? You can't go wrong with anything on that album. So a little bit of rap for you, a little New York City flavor for you. And in the home of Wu-Tang Clan in Shaolin, the Wu-Tang are as real as it gets. They really are. Yeah, Raekwon, Method Man, RZA, GZA, ODB. There's just too many to list, but I think you get the picture. And I've watched some really interesting stuff that I found on YouTube, live footage of them over in Park Hill. You want to talk about a tough area there in Stapleton? Yeah. I've been in that area. I got a friend that lives in that area. So I know it. I know. So, but I live on the South Shore. We're fortunate to live on the South Shore. But, you know, you read stories in the newspaper sometimes. It's pretty sad. That's what rap should be about. Cash, money, popping bottles, calling women bitches or other stuff. I think it should be about real stuff. And that's what rap used to be. Wu-Tang, Tupac, Biggie Smalls, Nas, they all DMX. I mean, that's what it should be about. Ice Cube, NWA. Yeah, that's what it should be. All right, so it is a college football Saturday. It is Halloween. Can anybody do anything for Halloween? I'm too old. What would I do if I could do something for Halloween? So it was normal here? Yeah, maybe I would just... maybe I would do like a Joker makeup. And just, I love the Joker. I love Heath Ledger's Joker. And I still have not seen the Joker movie. And I want to see it with Joaquin Phoenix. And I know it's on Showtime. And one of these days, I will get around and watch it. Because I know he did a really good job. And why wouldn't he? He's a great actor. But Heath Ledger's Joker in The Dark Knight, 2008, that was brilliant. It's brilliant. It's still my favorite character. I love that character so much. Speaking of movies, just want to say rest in peace to a legend himself, Sean Connery. Sean Connery. Sean Connery lived 90 great years on the surf. So a great Scott. He'll be missed, but he is a legend. And he was smart. He retired from acting. He knew when to get out. And he'll always be, to me, he'll always be really the quintessential James Bond. Look, there have been other guys who've been Bond. I just think, it's just that when I think James Bond, I think of Sean Connery. So, yes, this is Hard Hits Live, and this is mostly sports. But, yeah, the fact that, yeah, that's a topic. So, yeah, I will talk a little bit about James Bond. I will. James Bond... You know what the sad part is? Is that Roger Moore passed away in 2017. We lost him. Now we've lost Sean. Daniel Craig's a good Bond. Pierce was a good Bond also. Pierce Brosnan. You've had a number of different Bonds. Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of them listed here. Timothy Dalton, David Niven. I don't even know who David Niven is. Bond girls, though. The James Bond girls. I mean, what was her name? Was it Ulysses? Who are the greatest Bond girls? Who's the one who played Pussy Galore? Because I thought she was phenomenal. You know what? There were so many of them. It's just like, you know what? There are just so many great. James Bond is just, I love the fact that they've continued it on. They've continued to do the series, and they continue it. Who played her? You know what the sad part is? Blanche Blackwell, Jamaican Anglo Jewish descent. Wow, that's very interesting. So, all right, I mean,
That was Goldfinger. Oh, Goldfinger was classic. Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, I will talk a little bit about Bond. Is it Sean Connery's legacy? No. No. I've seen Sean Connery in too many roles. And there are 15 minutes left if you want to call. You want to talk about this? Or you want to talk college football? You have an NFL pick tomorrow. Who do you think is going to win between the Ravens and the Steelers? Who's going to win? The Ravens are a 3.5-point favorite at last check. They air at home. I think the Steelers are due for a tough game, and I think the Steelers are the best team, believe it or not, because of their defense. I think the Steelers are going to go to the Super Bowl, not the Chiefs. How do you feel about that? I'm very impressed with the Steelers, and they're very balanced. Roethlisberger looks good. They have a lot of balance at that wide receiver. They can run the ball. They're great defensively. Chiefs are not so good defensively. They're not as good as they were last year either. And, you know, there's a bunch of teams in the AFC. You know, the AFC is so much better than the NFC. It's just a joke. I mean, all right, the NFC has what? The Seahawks just lost their first game, but they're so fundamentally flawed defensively. They are. And Jamal Adams will come back. I hope Jamal Adams chokes. That's how I feel about Jamal Adams. I just think he's a fraud. I know he wanted the extension. And he wanted forced the trade out of the Jets. And the Jets got a good return. They had to get rid of him. You can't have guys like that. He only played 2 years, and he's already wants his extension. Whatever. Russell Wilson, you know, before he had the really bad game with 3 INTs, he was the MVP favorite. Now, who knows? I think Russell Wilson still is the best. I think he is the best player just because of what he has to do. Oh, that offense, he's just unbelievable. And I thought Pete Carroll against the Cardinals last week when they had a chance to put it away. You know, on that third down play, when you're up by 3 points after Arizona just went right down the field on you, Kyler Murray really proving that he's legit. And Rob Davis was right about that. I'll give Rob as much credit. Rob is a big Bills fan, but he knows his football. Here's what I'll say. Third down there, and like, what was it, third and two? You don't give it to your running back there because they're playing for that. If you have Russell Wilson, he's already run for like, I think he ran for like 75, gassed him for 75 yards along with all the passing yards had, even with the INTs, 2 INTs in regulation. You just line up and let Russell Wilson get it. Whether you line it up and block it up or you have him roll out a tight end or whatever and block it up, I think he would have got it, and I think that would have been end of story, and they would have won and game over. Pete Carroll sometimes overthinks things. He cost them that Super Bowl against the Patriots. I don't care what anybody says. Nobody will tell me that Marshawn Lynch, beast mode, shouldn't have got the ball there after how he carried them downfield. That was ridiculous. I mean, really, at the goal line, it was just ridiculous. It was a great play on the interception. I can't think of the guy's name, but that was just a terrible, terrible play call. They should have 2 Super Bowls. The Packers have 1 loss, but they can be run on. They got abused by Tampa Bay because Tampa Bay is physical defensively. They can rush blitz. They also can run the ball. And it's not just Brady throwing it around. The kid from USC, he's in like his third year. He's pretty good. The NFC is weak. Nobody is going. And yeah, I think the Bucs are the best team. The NFC East is a joke. It's the NFC least. And the Eagles will win it by default. And no, I'm not picking Washington. I don't think they're good enough. I don't think they score enough points. I don't believe in Kyle Allen. Although I think Ron Rivera is a good coach. He proved that with Carolina. And it dried up, and he had to make a change. Their defense is good, though. The Cowboys, they're just a joke. They have 2 wins. They should have 1. The Falcons should have 4 wins or 5 wins. They totally botched that onside kick. All they had to do was come up and recover. What are they doing? Blowing that big lead against the Cowboys. And they blew the game last week. Yeah, last week.
And they just won their second game over the they split with the Carolina Panthers. They're 2-6. But they, yeah, I mean, that's crazy. They got beat by the Lions at that end because the ex-Ram running back, he ran into the end zone by accident. He couldn't stop his momentum. That's got to be a terrible feeling. It is. So there's a lot of football, obviously. There's a lot of football being played. Let's just catch up here with 10 minutes to go here on some games. Alabama all over Mississippi State 27-0. No surprise there. Ohio State in command right now against Penn State 14-3. I liked Ohio State in that game, Penn State. Penn State is just, you know, they're good. They're a good football team. But 17.5 spread, that was the 17.5. Justin Fields, nobody talks about Justin Fields and how good he is. I think Justin Fields, that's the other quarterback nobody talks about. Everybody talks about Trevor Lawrence, but yeah. Florida trailing 7-6 to Missouri. SMU trying to bounce back this week. They're up a touchdown on Navy. Texas A&M up by 14 on Arkansas. North Carolina struggling. Didn't struggle last week against NC State, but they were upset a week ago, well, 2 weeks ago. And they're down to Virginia 13-10. Virginia gave Miami a game. I knew they were going to give Miami a game. You know why? Because the Hurricanes can't score points. They don't score enough points. Like, the quarterback, he looks good. He looks good. He throws for numbers, but they don't score enough points. They don't get in the end zone. So if you don't get in the end zone, you're going to struggle. So when I looked at that line, well, I think they were favored by, like, 13 or 14, and I'm not, like, big on these things, but I was like, take Virginia. And I knew it would be close on what they went, 13-7. Virginia's up 13-10 on Carolina. The highlight of today, and no, I'm not going to talk about Maryland coming back to Minnesota, 45-44, a game that I watched. The biggest highlight and takeaway for me is Nebraska. Nebraska was trailing 27-10 at home to Wisconsin. They looked like they were done. I took Wisconsin in that game. I did like a free pick thing. You know what? What a great comeback by Nebraska. They shut down the running back for Wisconsin in the second half. And it was just awesome. A terrific job there. Splendid. Just an outstanding job there as far as that goes. That was great. It was a great comeback right there by them. They pull it out 30-27, and they shut it down in that second half. So it was good stuff. Good stuff. For sure. That was a great comeback by them. They were the home team. It was their first Big Ten matchup or whatever of the season. Sometimes when you get these early games, and of course, the fact that your first games, the first division games are what, on Halloween or whatever, that just tells you a little something that this is not a normal year, okay? And it's not. It's not a normal year. So, it isn't. But, great comeback by them. I wasn't a believer in Nebraska, but you know what? They had a terrific comeback there. That quarterback, he got it done. How about that run that he had for the touchdown? That was a hell of a run. It was basically a keeper, and terrific job there on the keeper. Where it was a design play, he takes it up the middle, some blocks, and then pushes it outside and scampers 44 yards. And he was able to get the pylon before. I thought he was out of bounds at like the 1.5 yard line, but no, he did. He was able to get, all he has to do is get that football to the pylon, and he did. Terrific. Terrific. But great comeback there by Nebraska, the Cornhuskers. And it's not like I'm a Cornhusker guy. I'm just telling you the truth. We've got 6 minutes left. This is Hard Hits Live. Derek Felix here for another 6 minutes. Final thoughts. The Ontario Hockey League is eliminating body checking from So anybody who plays in the OHL Junior League, Hockey League, finish checks? What the hell's the point of playing? I mean, look, I understand there's a pandemic and everything, and I understand they want to be safe. But that's a joke. That is an absolute joke. That's a travesty. That's what that is. And if I was a player, that's a wasted year of development. If I can't I can't check and I can't finish checks, whatever, what the heck's the point? They should leave, and or they should go on loan or go to Sweden or go to a restaurant and play in the KHL or play in Finland or whatever, or even go to a different league. I don't know what the WHL is doing. I don't know what the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League is doing. Maybe go to the USHL. That's a joke. And if you're a fan of a player, you know, that just got drafted in that draft and they play in the OHL, what the hell are they doing? What are you doing? That's ridiculous. It's a joke. 46 players are invited to the Canadian Team Canada World Junior Evaluation Camp. That's going to be in Red Deer. It runs, I think, from November 16th to December 13th. Basically, what they're going to do there is they're going to evaluate, and there are going to be roster cuts. Obviously, they want to. I think you have to get down to 23. It's either 23. It might be 25. I think because it's junior, it's 25 because they're going to take three goalies. So they're going to have extras there, plus the pandemic. So I think it's going to be at least 25. So they're going to have to. There are three Rangers that got drafted are going to be part of it, including Braden Schneider, the first round draft pick by the Rangers. He traded up to get him. They must have traded up in front of the Devils because they must have thought the Devils wanted him. I probably would have gone for Hendricks LaPierre myself because they need a center, but they passed on him. And they went for Braden Schneider, which tells me that they want to get tougher on the blue line. They don't want to just be skating defensemen. So I think JD wants to change a little bit of the style. They can't be soft to play against. And you have Ryan Lindgren, and he's tough. Trouba can play tough, and he was better in the playoffs. But I like the draft pick. I just questioned. You needed a center. And Hendricks LaPierre, I know he dropped because of his recent concussion history, and the Caps wound up swapping with the Calgary Flames and trading up to 22 to get him. They're both going to be in that camp, so I hope they both make the cut because I want to see how both do. Obviously, one's center and one is a tough defenseman, and they say he also could contribute offensively. He's a right defenseman, right shooting defenseman, and he's tough and he finishes checks. So I want to see. I hope they both make it. Matthew Robinson, a Rangers second-round pick in the 2019 draft. Oh, he'll be there. He is trying to make the cut there. And one of the Rangers' goalie prospects also is part of it. So that's what you have there. Devils have Dawson Mercer competing and Graham. I can't think of the guy's last name right now. If you want hockey coverage, I do run a hockey blog. It is Rangers and Devils, so it's not like it's just exclusively Rangers. It's NewYorkPuck.com. What we are the Battle of Hudson. We used to be the Battle of New York way back when we used to be a blogger. You can get the story though. Go to NewYorkPuck.com. Very easy. www.newyorkpuck.com, and you can check out our Rangers and Devils coverage. I've been doing most of the blogging lately, and I had a recent article looking back on Jagr, 2005-2006, Lundqvist beginnings. Eric Lundqvist is an ex-Ranger now, and now he's tweeting stuff. He's tweeting videos on his Twitter account. He didn't do that. He didn't do much of that when he was a Ranger. So he's showing off some of the new pads and stuff and equipment and practicing, and he's getting in. And he was wearing some of his old Ranger pads there because he still doesn't have his Caps blue yet. But I took a look back at 2005-2006. What made that season so special? For the old school Ranger fans, it was special. That I can tell you. All right, that's going to do it for this Hard Hits Live podcast. I didn't do any basketball, no tennis. Novak Djokovic lost and was upset by an Italian. But he's going to keep his number one ranking. He was only there to just keep his number one ranking. He didn't put forth much of an effort there. Disappointing there. He's also going to skip the Paris Masters. Rafa Nadal will be there. Dominic Thiem won't be there. So both Novak and Thiem are out for that. But everybody else will be there. All right, that's going to do it for this Hard Hits Live. Thank you for tuning in. Check out our future shows. And other shows will be with other guests, but that's going to do it. I hope that you enjoyed this. I enjoyed it. It was a little different format, and we even did some James Bond. And thank you to Sean Connery for an amazing career. Untouchables, and I loved you in that, and I loved you in League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, and a lot of different things. Thank you. All right, that's going to do it. Thank you for tuning in. If you did, give me a follow, Hard Hits Network, on the Twitter, or you can follow me on my regular account. That is DFLEX, DFLEX, numbers 2123. Thank you, and enjoy the rest of your Halloween, your whatever, your ghosts and goblins. And don't forget, clocks do turn back, so you do get an extra hour. We will see you all next time. And that's our show. See you all later. Peace.
Yo, Rockin', what's up? Yo, I'm doing the knowledge, E, man. I'm trying to get paid in full. Well, check this out. Since Norby Walters is our agency, right?
True.
Kara Lewis is our agent.
Word up.
Zakia and Forth and Broadway is our record company.
Indeed.
Okay, so who we rolling with then?
We rolling with Rush.
Rush Town Management. But check this out. Since we talking over this deaf beat right here that I put together, I want to hear some of them deaf rhymes. You know what I'm saying? And together, we can get paid in full.
Full.